This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
And I'm a little congested, a little snotty, a little gross, but we're here. Because it's almost time for the return of the Columbus Crew, the black and gold.
Return of the Kings.
Yeah, that's right. The defending champs. They're back, baby. It is a Cruisemas Week episode of Bone and Beam United. So thank you guys for listening. Beam, I know you've been feeling kind of gunky as well and under the weather, but we're soldiering through.
We are soldiering through at all costs, right? No, that's what we do. So, you know, you were out. Soccer Podcast Day is now on Wednesday. You were out on Tuesday. In my house, it's been an active war zone for like 10 days.
Oh, God.
So it hasn't been great. Now, we are pressing through onto the other side of things. And really, it started a couple of weeks ago. I mean, we were doing a podcast. I'm like, I kind of got a fever. And we actually like scratched the podcast for that week when you said that you were dumb and didn't make it. Like, okay, that actually works out in my favor because I didn't feel so great. And I had like a low grade fever and I'm like, my throat felt like I was swallowing razor blades and like all this stuff. And then it went away for like 3 days and then it came back with a vengeance. And I woke up on Saturday morning and I felt like right over the top of my left eyebrow, the entire weight of the world was right there. And I could like pinpoint it. I'm like, other than that, I feel fine. And then we got through that day and like Saturday night, I start to feel a little bit better. I'm just popping Sudafed.
Yeah.
Like a crazy person.
Doing what you got to do, right?
Yeah. Like the pharmacist is looking at me like, what are you doing with these boxes of Sudafed? I'm like,
listen, you don't ask any questions, Walter White.
Yeah. Right? I'm just chill out. Here's my ID. Let me have my box of Sudafed. Let me walk out of here.
Mr. White. Yo, Mr.
Science.
White.
And so I've been doing that. I've been feeling better. And then on Saturday night, this thing just took out Meredith. Yeah, no, it's not a good situation. She's like, I feel as bad as I felt in like 5 years. And she's dealing with a fever. And as you know, like we've got the little one at home and he feels fine. Like he's got none of it, which is great. Like we're all
it's good and bad, right?
Because yes,
that means he's still like, what are we doing, mom and dad? Yeah. When's playtime? And you guys are like, oh, my God. Yeah, it's crazy, too, because she works at a school, so I would think
Her immune system's pretty good.
Yeah, she's probably seen all variants and strains and craziness of all this stuff. So, she, you know, for her to get taken out by something means you got something pretty gnarly. I also feel like we're at a point now where I think everyone's just kind of hit this window of, all right, it's getting...
Shit window, Randy.
Yeah, it's like we just hit it where everyone's finally, I think... Like the entire, I feel like the entire city of Columbus got all this at like the same 2 week period. Yeah. Everyone's kind of dealt with it. Everyone's getting kind of gross. So hopefully we can get all this through our systems and all feel better. And then hopefully springtime will be here. The clocks will change. It'll suddenly next
allergies
thing you know,
will kick in and then you'll feel worse about that.
Sun's out, guns out. Yeah, right. We'll have our allergies back. We'll do all that stuff. So plenty to talk about Major League Soccer. We will get into all of it. But, you know, we've got referee stuff to talk about. We got Open Cup stuff to talk about. With some of the controversies with Major League Soccer, but overall coming into this season, I thought it would be appropriate to start here, Beamer. This is another year that we get to do the podcast where the Crew are the reigning defending champions.
We've done this 2 years now.
It's crazy. It's crazy that we've been doing the podcast long enough to have not only done this once, but now to have like a perspective on doing it multiple times. But
we have two stars.
We do.
The podcast has two stars
of our own. We weren't here in 2008, but we're here for the other two.
Chris Blaine, when he redoes our logo, we're going to need two stars.
That's right. Yeah, I think that's a good call. So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
The last time this happened, we know how it went with the New England head coach now, Caleb Porter.
Hey, the goals will come.
The goals will come. I saw him say it this week.
I'm like, oh, man.
It's so funny to watch, like, again, it's like, if you like pro wrestling, there's just guys hit their moves. If Undertaker's in a match, it's like, he's going to do Tombstone Piledriver. He's going to do these. He's got like four or five things that he does every match.
The choke slam will happen.
Yeah. They're like, you have to see an Undertaker match. He's going to have to do these moves. It's all he does. He has to break them out. Caleb Porter is like that old wrestler where it's like, oh, did we get a goals will come yet? Oh, we did. The goals will come. Yes, the goals will come. Oh,
people's elbow.
People's elbow, right. It's just one of his
finishing
moves.
When will he talk about neck tattoos? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, exactly right. I want a forward with neck tattoos. You need that. So how do you feel about this one? I don't think we're going to miss the playoffs this year or anything like that.
No.
How are you, though? Are you more tentative in your just full-throatedness of who are going to go back-to-back, no questions asked, maybe like we were the previous time where we were like, yeah, we'll probably go back and run this back again?
I think that since we have done this song and dance before and we got knocked off our perch pretty good for a couple of years, I would say that I am cautiously optimistic for the season, because let's flip the clock back to last year at the same time. Okay. We, as a collective podcast, you and I both, who had been doing this for a while, were excited about Wilfried Nancy, and we understood the tactics and the style that they were going to play. And we sat here last year when we were doing our crew season preview and we talked, yeah, you might give up some goals, but at some point you're going to be scoring a lot. And they did. They scored the most in team history last year, and one of the best seasons offensively that we've seen in MLS history, right? I mean, they were just scoring goals left and right. And so for this year's, I don't want to use the word comparison, I think that's not the right choice in this. For this year's outlook, I would expect that to be what we expected last season happened so fast, and what we expected this season was expecting to be the big year last year.
Right.
Right. Yeah, like, yeah, so yeah. Year two, I think once we saw in the middle of the summer last year and the early portions of the season, we saw what this team could do and we were all excited. And I really don't think if you would have polled us, you know, in May, June, July, especially when they moved off of Lucas, that you would have said that this team was going to be MLS Cup champions by the time that you rolled around to December. And now being MLS Cup champions and having that third star on your badge and winning a pair of championships in over the course of 4 years, I think cautiously optimistic is the way that I'm running into this. But again, I'm also expecting a huge year, because this was the year that we expected to be big. Last year was the ingratiation period. Like, you know, okay, cool, we're going to do this and we're going to see what works. And if we don't, we're going to tinker some things in the offseason. But you hit the ground running so fast last year and you were so prolific that I just tend to believe that, yeah, it's going to be the same. You're going to see the same stuff. I don't know what else MLS has done. Obviously, like, you've got to deal with the Messi thing, and like, that's going to be something that I'm sure that we're going to get into during the course of, you know, the MLS season. Like, they have loaded up in Miami and other teams have rebolstered and have kind of been trying to figure out what the crew did and have been arming themselves to go after you, as any good team and any well-run organization should. But I have a hard time imagining in my mind, with the players that they have on this roster and the coach that they have and the fortress that you have right down the street from us, that any time that you play a game on the road, or excuse me, at home, that 3 points are going to be at a premium and you're going to go into any of those games expecting a win.
Yeah. So expectations are high, right? And I think it's not wrong to have that. I think a good thing for, obviously, the team has goals, right? We don't always know what those goals are. Sometimes they're explicitly stated, like, we want to win MLS Cup again, and that's all good.
They may be putting their entire bucket into Champions Cup this year.
Well, that's what I was going to say, right? Is, so there are so many different, I think certainly a goal this team probably has is to, number one, defend its title.
Yeah.
And number two, to win trophies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So win, you know, which you can't really win a trophy. You can't know you're going to win a trophy in MLS Cup until the end of all of that. Before all that, there are other trophies to be won. So I think you have to prioritize how much you want to win trophies versus how much you want to defend MLS Cup. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be very interesting to watch with these players. For me, as a fan, I very much do care about how you stack up against the rest of the region. I very much do care about continuing that legacy, because I feel like when you win last year, when you play in Champions League this year, that is a continued honoring of what was done last year.
Yes.
By winning it this year, right? So if that, even though it's different players to a degree, there's a few guys that are missing, right, and all, yeah, that. But when you go out the next year, and if you can go win a Champions Cup thing, which, again, you know, which would be like Champions League.
Is
in
our
Europe.
Version, is CONCACAF's version of the Champions.
Yeah, the CONCACAF Champions League.
It used
League,
to be called Champions League.
Yeah, they changed it because they're stupid.
Yes.
But anyway, you go win that, which would be unprecedented for the Crew to do. They've never done that.
Yeah.
That would be a reason that I would be excited about it, but also because you're measuring up against, like, international competition. This continues to raise the profile of your team. It's also just a really cool way to show, like, yeah, it wasn't a fluke last year. This team is really good, and they're not just really good in America. They're good in a worldwide type of setting.
In this hemisphere.
Yeah, in a North American setting.
Yeah.
And then let's see what happens beyond that. But I also just feel like, in general, that's one that's very clear-cut on how you win it. You have basically, like, it's your quickest route. I think you have to win, like, 4 or 5 games, mm-hmm. and you win this thing. Now, they're not easy, but you're already into the round of 16 in that one.
Yes.
And you'll play an MLS. You won't face a team outside of MLS until you get to the round of 8.
It was not Sporting Kansas City. It was St. Louis and
Houston. Houston. I believe is who the two are. And whoever wins, I didn't see if they've played that yet or whenever that happens. They might be playing that as we speak or, like, this week. I'm not sure. Either way, like, those games, when they do that, you know, I want to see the Crew have a very good shot at going and getting that done, because, one, that's a trophy that's right there in front of you right now.
They just beat St. Louis, beat Houston last night, 2-0.
Okay. So does that mean they've advanced, or I can't remember if there's
it's a two-leg.
It's a two-leg.
So they're returning to Houston next week.
Okay. So we'll
that's
keep
obviously
an eye on
what,
that.
Yeah, what we'll
right.
Yeah, we'll
keep an eye on that. Mm-hmm. But that's where, and then I believe after that it'll be in a few weeks they'll play the one with the Crew. So you're in that tournament almost from day one. So of course the downside to that is, once you get outside of MLS teams, then you are actually playing teams that have been in season for a while. But by the time the Crew face a team that's at an advantage or an advantage like that, the Crew will be probably a month at least into their season. You'll have some games under your belt. Everybody will be at peak fitness, should be, or rounding
close
into
to it.
Yeah, you'll be rounded into form, for lack of a better term. I don't know what the players care about. You know, and I think that's something we don't talk about enough.
Yeah.
If you watch the NBA, which I know not everybody does, neighbor Eric, I know you do, but everybody else, I get it, you may not. The trophy that they did this year in Las Vegas, the in-season tournament thing that they played, they gave it a different name now. I don't know what it's called.
I think it was just the in-season tournament.
It was, right? But it got sponsored now. I think it's like
the Barclays.
Yeah, it might actually be.
I think it's like the Barclays.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Tournament.
Yeah. So that trophy, when I heard about that and when I saw that and they had the different colored courts and everything, I was like, this is stupid. But then you start watching it and you find there were like a dozen teams where the guys really seemed to care.
Like the Indiana Pacers cared about that.
They were into it, man. And some of these teams are like, yeah, man, this is something we go in right now. I like it. So I don't know what the players care about, but I think that matters too. If you go to your players and you're like, hey, man, would you want to win Champions Cup or this League's Cup thing that we do with Mexico every year? Now, for me, League's Cup can burn in a dumpster for all I don't give two craps about that. It's a nice, easy way to get like 4 weeks off in the middle of your season.
Yes.
Why not? Just blow that tournament off, especially with all the international stuff going on this summer.
Right.
Like, I almost look at, make your push to Champions Cup.
Yes.
Get through that, then take the summer off. You're going to have guys missing. You're going to just build a big enough lead in league. And if you can get Champions Cup and get some hardware, great. I'm not worried about Supporters Shield. It's going to be a mess this year with trying all the fixture congestion you have. League's Cup doesn't matter two iotas to me. But if the players all say, I love League's Cup, that's a big deal to me to go out and beat Mexico and beat everyone. Okay. I mean, I don't know why. I would think Champions Cup would be a bigger, more prestigious thing to win. You don't have to worry about Open Cup this year as much. I don't even know if the Crew will be in it.
Right.
But, like, that whole thing's a debacle.
That's a disaster.
So, for me, your objectives for this year are Champions Cup, trying to go as far and like, establish some new headway in that, and qualify for it next year. Right?
Yeah.
Like, qualify again next year so that you're back in it with some guys who've experienced it now, guys who've learned how to play in that style, all those things. Like, I think that's a really cool, neat thing that more and more fans, especially now when you're talking, people are buying tickets, season tickets are selling out, it's hard to get tickets to these games. Well, there's a midweek game against a team from Guatemala.
Yeah.
That might be something where you got a chance to go actually watch your team play, and it's for an interesting competitive tournament level fixture. You're going to see some good players out there. I think that's a bonus. I think that's great. So
when you and I, you know, we talk a lot of England, right? I
mean, yep,
we talk a lot of
course.
We talk a lot of Premier League here on this show, and these are conversations that we have about big European teams, like fixture congestion is such a big thing. And we talk about FA Cup, and we talk about the Carabao Cup, and we talk about teams in Champions League, and we talk about them having to play 38 games in, like, the Premier League. And so I really do wonder, and it would be interesting to talk to, you know, Bez or Wilfried Nancy to see, like, okay, we know that I would have to imagine, like, your main goal is going to be to win the one at the end of the year, right? I mean, to win MLS Cup. Like, you get into the playoffs, and, like, you're going to be hyper-focused on that. But when it comes to the, I guess, sprinkling and deciding, okay, we're going to put the eggs in the bucket of the Champions Cup, or we're going to put the eggs in the bucket of Leagues Cup, like, how much are you actually trying to win all of them? Are you trying to win all of them? You know, yeah, like, are, right, do you feel like, right, you have a deep enough roster where you can go out there and say, okay, well, we know in MLS games we're going to use Christian Ramirez as a super sub in 75 minutes. And then, but we feel like at his level and the way that he's playing, we're going to use him for 60 minutes in these Champions Cup, then bring Cucho off the bench. Like, I mean, there's different ways that you can doctor this out. And I'm sure that this has been a strategy talk with Bez and Wilfried Nancy and everybody in the organization about how they're going to be able to manage all of this. But I guess my expectation for them would be, one, I mean, get into the playoffs, right? I mean, right, as what we saw last year, like, you want to be hosting those playoff games in the first round. Yeah. Like, you want the advantage because you needed it against Atlanta last year in the first round, right? Yeah. You went down, yeah, there, you lost. It was 1-1. You come back up here to lower.com field, you win, the rest is history. Like, you want to be hosting those games. And I think it is such a weapon we have at our disposal, that building. I mean, we saw it.
That and the fact that it's not on artificial turf.
Yes.
Like, the fact that this league insists on having stadiums where if you go to New England, you're playing on a different surface than if you play here. And that's such a built-in advantage for teams like that, for, yeah, teams like Atlanta. So you're right. It does matter. It's huge.
It is huge. And so I would say baseline expectation, at least for this, and I know we're just getting started on MLS, but this, the entire season is getting ready to come back, would be in a spot where you're, I don't necessarily know if you need to compete for, you know, Supporters Shield. Like, I'm okay if you're in that competition, but I don't necessarily need to see them walk away with it. I do think that you'd want to be hosting playoff games, but I would really like to see, and again, and I think it all comes down to the players and what they're prioritizing and what management is prioritizing, but I think a run in the Champions Cup would be pretty sweet.
Like, yeah, I mean, to me, it's like the first half of the season, I prioritize try to do both.
Yeah.
Try to balance,
yes,
getting 3 points at home, one on the road,
yep,
as much as you can,
mm-hmm,
with we've got this big midweek fixture. And if one of those dips, but like, I want to put some eggs in the basket of we've got Champions Cup. Let's go try to win that. And then if you hit a roadblock, you have a bad game. All right. Take a couple weeks to reevaluate, get your squad back, get them mentally back. And then we don't worry about anything else other than let's run into July or June with getting as many points as we can the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Then you look at Leagues Cup, you look at all that stuff and say, hell with that. I don't care.
So the
And then you come back in September, hopefully with a big enough lead that you can say, or with a we're top four, and then go try then to be top two.
So the Crew will get dropped in. We just talked about that. They get dropped into Champions Cup into the round of 16. So those fixtures, either against Houston or St. Louis, will take place the first and second Wednesday of March. So that's
right. That's coming up.
That's a couple of weeks away,
yeah,
from right now.
So, but I'm saying the nice thing there is they will have a couple games that they will have played, but pretty much everybody in those games is going to be on the same kind of pathway of we just started our seasons. You're,
yes,
not going to have those teams have not been playing for 6 months.
And then if you fast forward, it's also the first and second week of April into the quarterfinals. The semifinals are the last week in April and the first week in May. And then if you get all the way to the final, it's the first Saturday in June.
Right.
So it's June 2nd. So, I mean, you could be potentially talking about, what is that, round of 16? And that would be 4, 6, 8, 7 matches,
yeah,
that you are dedicating to be able to say, okay, in these 7 matches, potentially, and if you,
yeah,
you,
right,
blow yourselves out of the tournament, I mean, it happens.
Right.
You're playing,
yeah,
international competitions. But we feel strong enough as a squad that, okay, that in these first couple of months of MLS season, you know, maybe we're gearing up and we're loading up towards Champions Cup, and that's fine. Like, yeah, of course you want to get 3 points at home and at lower.com field, and you want to get one on the road, like you just mentioned. Like, that's the goal every single week when we do this podcast. When they're down in Houston, it's like, get a point.
Yeah.
But we know that's a tough challenge for them when they have to play that in July. But really, I mean, if you load up the first couple of months in the season and you do put a lot of your eggs into this Champions Cup basket, and let's say that you make it to the semifinals and then you crash out of there, I'm totally fine with your line of thinking. It's like, all right, rack and stack points into the summer, go into the League of Nations Cup. I see. I don't even know what it is.
It's one. League's Cup.
I have zero interest. I would much rather go for a U.S. Open Cup than I would this made-up Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck money trophy League's Cup thing. Like, I have no interest in that at all.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And I don't want to see the crew go for that. And to that point, doesn't mean you don't try.
Of course.
You put out your roster. You put out guys that, you know, like, you don't want guys to get stale where they're just sitting around. These guys want to play, right? But also, I'm putting out the best mix of healthy, available, and hungry, you know, like in those games. I'm putting out guys that, like, you know, these guys are younger. They haven't had as much of a chance. We're going to start them in these League's Cup
games. A Jason Russell Rowe.
Now, I don't know. Yeah, exactly right. I don't know to what level MLS yells at you if you do that, but you know what? I don't care. I care about doing what's right, and what I want prioritized most is trying to win trophies, not plates. Listen, Supporters Shield, I don't know if anybody else feels this way. It might just be me. The amount of whining that's happened, and it's not just with the FC Cincinnati idiots, but like the amount of whining that has happened the last few years from teams that won the Shield, lost the Cup. Like LAFC had this, I think. I know there's been other teams too that have done this. Toronto may have done it, where it's like,
oh, New England did it a couple of years ago, right?
Who did?
New England.
They
had the most points ever in MLS.
And didn't win MLS Cup.
Right.
And then they're all like, well, technically, this is way more of an accomplishment.
Technically, if you were over in Europe, played by those standards and rules, then yes.
But what's funny is, I mean, number one, I remember when it was a shield and not a plate, but that's a whole other thing where they actually had the Supporters Shield little trophy that's that like Pontiac looking logo. That was made by supporters. They paid the money to get some kind of trophy made. It was put in by a bunch of different supporters groups. And then they've now memorialized that into a plate thing that has that logo in it. But the original Supporters Shield, I mean, I remember that being passed around the Nordic in 2008 when we won it. Like, that was really, or 2009, technically, when they, you know, they won it in 2008. I don't remember if they brought it 2008. It might have transferred hands at that point during the season because it looked like the crew were going to win. Anyway, the point is, I love the idea of winning the Supporters Shield, but now that I hear so many people complaining about it, it's got even less value to me than winning something like CONCACAF Champions Cup, because no one can take away what that is, and no one can take away your MLS Cups. It's another star. I want more stars. Yeah. That's all. That's all I'm at right now.
If you win Champions League, do you get a star?
I think you should. I don't know what MLS's rules are, but I mean, I think
maybe like a shoulder patch star, like a different star.
You know what would be badass is then if like the next year you're back in Champions Cup and you have a jersey that you wear that just has one star for that. You wear like a star with that. It's like, oh, this is our Champions Cup stars.
That would be amazing.
And then we have our MLS stars on this
other
jersey. Those
are like the Champions League's jersey that you see like over in Europe. Because if you've won one, like if you notice, like Real Madrid has the 11 patch.
Yeah.
And
right.
It's the Champions League trophy with 11, the number on it, and I'm like, boy, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, back in the day when MLS Cup was won by the crew in 08, they were doing the Scudetto thing back then, which was where they would put the trophy over, like a logo of the trophy over top of your logo instead of a star, and then the next year is when you got your actual star, and I did kind of think, like, that's pretty badass. Like, I could see if, like, the next year, if the crew won something like that, put the Champions Cup logo on the sleeve, like, that'd be pretty slick. I'd take that. But you know what? We're not there yet. It's a long way off. I guess let's take a break, and then I want to come back with one question about this, and then we'll move on to other things. My question is, how does the style of play for the crew work when it comes to fixture congestion? We will discuss that next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United.
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
As always, you can tweet the program at Bone Beam United. So this is the question I have with Wilfried Nancy's style of play, which I absolutely love. And I love everything about last year and how this team's style of play kind of set soccer on its head a little. Not soccer, This has been happening in Europe. Teams play like this now. It's not unheard of. But one of the things that's always been brought up is like, yeah, but can you go win a championship like this?
Yes, you can.
And can you win a one-off? Not even that. You can maybe win like a essentially a supporter shield like this, right? But can you win one-off playoff matches where you just have to, you can't give up a goal because, man, if you give up a goal or, God forbid, two goals on the road against your rivals in a conference final,
what's gonna
can you come
here?
Back from that playing this very dangerous but free and open style of play where you're encouraging players to stay on the ball longer than usual? And the answer is yes, you can win. You can win both ways with that, right? Now it's going to face another test because now you're going to have fixture congestion, which means you have to use backups. You have to use role players. You have to use guys who are not getting as many minutes, who do not use the system as often. They practice it. They're drilled with it. They understand it. They understand it spiritually, I'm quite sure, from all the talks and everything.
Everybody understands spiritually what Wilfried Nancy preaches.
Impossible is nothing, yes. Right? He wants you to have joy. He wants
impossible
you to express yourself.
Impossible is an opinion.
Impossible is an opinion, right? Impossible is nothing is a slogan that someone else is using.
That's
impossible
like is LeBron, an, I think.
Yeah, impossible is an opinion. That's great. But
we
I
just got slapped with so many cease and desists.
That's fine. All I'm saying is I am excited to see how this goes because it's now a test of can you win this game when you're playing an MLS game on Saturday against a really good team, but you're on the road. The temptation would be
are
to
you
like,
saying can you do it on a rainy Tuesday night in Stoke?
Well, what? Yeah, a little bit, but it's also what would the temptation be usually in that moment where you're like, we want to bank points. We're going on the road. It's going to be gross weather in Philadelphia where we don't usually do well. They're always tough.
Hunker down.
Right. Usually you'd go Atletico Madrid, you'd go Caleb Porter Ball, go Jose Mourinho, you'd park the bus and say, let's just get out of here with a point. 0-0 gross.
If we can hit them on the counter, like that's the game that we're going to play.
Right. And I wonder how open to that Nancy will be because it does kind of fly in the face of his philosophy to a degree, which is I want soccer to be fun. I want it to be enjoyable.
I don't think he gives a flip about schedule congestion. I mean, I'm sure that he does with his roster and his buildouts of teams for certain matches. I don't think anybody is moving him off of that idea that this is the way that we play our system. And even if I don't have my strongest 11 out, that I'm not moving off this idea of this is what we as a team and this is what us as the Columbus Crew do. Yeah, I don't think anybody's knocking him off of that.
I hope not. I think it's a great thing for soccer.
I would be fine with that. Like, yeah, I understand that there are sometimes in games 5 minutes left to go in the game. Like, yeah, you probably don't want to be that aggressive, and that's okay, but you've already banked two goals.
Right.
Like, there are times and there are places to do it, but I cannot see the Crew going into a game, as long as Wilf is in charge, that they're ever going to say we're playing for a 0-0 draw.
Right.
I just can't. I cannot imagine it.
Right. And so that's where I feel like now you're going to find that it's going to be really not really tough. It's going to be very interesting to watch how this all plays out in the first half of the season. If, like we said, the goal becomes let's stack points in the first half before the summer of craziness happens with a million different competitions and guys going all over the world. And, you know, you've got Euros this year. You've got. Why am I blanking on the CONMEBOL
Copa
America, right? You got everything. I mean, everybody's in a tournament. All these guys are going to get called up, and you got your own League's Cup thing, which is stupid.
Which was the death of the U.S. Open Cup.
Buddy, what a joke this is. But all that being said, you know, right. So you look at it now and you're like, well, we're in sixth. We bounced out of CONCACAF Champions Cup. It's almost June. We are going on the road to one of the toughest we're going to New England. It would make sense to go in there and just say, you know what? They're going to porter ball. We're going to porter ball and just get a point out of this just to get something. We're coming back at home with an easier opponent on Saturday. We'll break it wide open. We'll wide open at those two games and we'll get seven out of this stretch. And this is good. Yeah. And right. For Nancy to say, I don't think so.
I don't think he cares about that. Yeah,
I know. And I find that's what I'm going to be very interested to watch the adjustments he makes this year. Also, as the league, like we've seen every time someone kind of pushes a new style, there's always the correction to that. There's always the adjustment to that where the league's like, all right, you like to do that. Well, now everybody's doing this when they play you because this seemed to be the most effective thing. Mm-hmm. What if teams start doing that more to them? I don't know. Like I'm not doubting him in any way. I'm saying it more or less as this is sports. This is what I love. This is the chess match that I think will get very interesting as we go forward. So keep an eye on all that.
I also
think that can be fun.
I also think that Wilfried Nancy probably has a plan for the plans being implemented against them.
That's like, you know, what I'm talking about. Like, I think it'll be really interesting to watch how he deals with all that because I think he's smart enough and just a great tactician.
Listen, we love him here on this show, and if you're a Crew fan, I'm sure that you love him as well, and I think he's one of the best probably coaches that we've had in the city, in the, just the city of Columbus in entirety of sports.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, 1 year, one trophy, like you're, all of a sudden now you're going to be thrust upon the national stage, international stage, which I'm excited to see, and I don't think that he's finished. I have a hard time imagining him just being like, okay, that 1 year, our first year with Columbus, like that was a fluke. Like, no, this is not the last iteration. Like, this isn't just a one layer of Wilfried Nancy ball, you know? Like, there are plenty of different layers that we are going to get to see unveiled. And for that, I'm super excited to see what this next iteration of this team and what this 24 season looks like. Because there are opportunities abound. Like, they are aplenty, you know? Like, there's a bunch of different things that you can accomplish this year. And I'm super pumped to find out the – get to see and, you know, get a first look as to what they're going to be.
Yeah. I think we got a lot of things to be excited about as Crew fans. So it's going to be a lot of fun this season, and we're going to have a lot of fun out there at LDC, hopefully to see all of you out there too. Let's talk a little bit about something with FC Cincinnati, then we'll get into some stuff with MLS. Alvaro Barrial, one of their better players. Seven goals, seven assists last year. Not their, you know, not the most ever, but... certainly a good contributor for that team, a very dangerous player for them. He was thought to be getting loaned out to or sent over to Europe. That's what he wanted, was a move to Europe, and it was expected it would happen. It did not. So then it was started to become a thing of like, well, then he'll probably come back to play for FC Cincinnati for at least the spring, and then summer maybe he gets transferred. Maybe they'll do it then. Nope. It was announced Pat
Noonan.
Pat Noonan. Well, he's there, but... Pat Brennan, who is the Inquirer reporter.
I get them confused quite often.
Not Pat Murphy.
No.
Who's our guy. But yes, all the above. Anyway, Pat Brennan from the Cincinnati Esquire said he is actually getting loaned out to a team in Brazil.
Okay.
And then probably getting, I mean, I'm sure the idea is sell him on after that. But yeah, that's just, I did not see that one coming for FC Cincinnati.
Well, just remember that they won Supporter Shield last year. So
they got robbed
out of their trophy.
They got, God, so stupid.
I'm also excited. Like,
Did you see that they put that thing out where they called themselves a championship organization?
Come on, man. What are you
championship
doing?
Championship of what?
What championship did you win?
You won a Supporters Shield, which is not the championship.
Hey, can you imagine?
So stupid.
Can you imagine, and I don't even want to live in this world, and I'm not necessarily sure that I want to go down this wormhole.
It's fine. Go ahead.
But can you imagine a world in which FC Cincinnati had won that game and we lost to them? Just what our podcast and what the feeling around this team would have been for the last 3 months.
Yeah. You know,
like how much different that would be. But instead of us having to deal with it, they have to deal with it. Like,
yeah,
it's just,
that's right.
Yeah. I can imagine that it would be awful and it would be terrible and we would be excited to seeing Nancy ball. But we would also be saying, well, can you get it done in a one-off game? And, like, those would be conversations like, yeah, sure, it's good for points and goals, but you need to do it in one game, and you didn't do it.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden it's like, nope, that's thrust on them.
Yeah, don't forget, by the way, because you're so right. Like, it's almost, I guess I was like, I'm kind of mad about that championship thing, but it's also like, you know what? I hope they keep doing it. Because it's so much fun when you've actually got the real trophies and the real star over your jersey.
And the way that you did it.
And the way that you did it, where you beat him, it's like, go ahead and say whatever you guys want. Go
down
say,
there.
Go talk and call yourself champions in your little playland you live in, your mental gymnastics that you've built for yourself and your brains. Like, yeah, go ahead.
How's that star look on your crest?
Well, you have to draw it on. Did you see that with their jersey? Their jersey is just a white t-shirt. And then they were like, it's a canvas. We want people to design it. And then they actually had someone who had like drawn something on it. And they were like, this is a piece of the art of art. It's like, oh yeah, sure. Great. That's good. I'm going to spend $200 on a jersey. And then I'm going to have to take a Sharpie out and write on there. Like, we championship was here, you know, like,
call Shawshank.
Call Brooks, Gary for a good time.
Brooks right? was here, like yeah. up on the mantle.
Right. Yeah.
So
exactly.
was Red.
Right.
It's so just, was Cucho. Like, yeah, yes, exactly. He was here too.
Oh my God! Like, this is just so stupid. Their whole organization. It's FC Cincinnati. The C is for cringe. Like yeah. football cringe Cincinnati.
Did
exactly
you know?
It.
Did you know a fun fact about them? And I don't know if we've ever talked about this on this show. FC stands for what?
Foosball wait a second. What does no, tell me.
All right. Well, I mean, just FC in general stands for football club.
Yeah.
Their FC is foosball club.
Yeah, it's foosball.
Which
the foos lads.
Come on, man.
Oh yeah. Oh, dude, they're so again, they are so cringe every single time. You think, no, it couldn't be this bad. It is even worse than you think. That's why.
Why are you doing the German thing?
You got me, dude. It's so well because I mean again
I know they have German you, they have German
so does Columbus
we literally have
a place called German Village. The whole damn like section of downtown, there's German Village, there's Italian, every big city has
cobblestone streets,
like, migrant areas yes. where it's like this is where the Italian population generally settled, here's where some Irish people were, this is where this group of people, like
we have a city named Dublin.
Yeah, no kidding. Right. So stupid. It's so cringe. They are FC Cincinnati. By the way, enjoy Brandon Vasquez, who's banging in goals down in Mexico. Let him live. He's playing great, but he won't be playing for FC Cincinnati. He gone.
God, I'm just so glad we didn't have to have those off-season conversations.
Oh, my God. You're right. What a great point. So the Open Cup, like you've said, we still don't know to this point as of recording this podcast exactly what the format's going to be. The latest news on it is it's going to be a hybridization of what it used to be and what it apparently should be. Can I take, so let me give you the details, and I want to take kind of an opposing viewpoint on this, Beamer, okay. A contrarian point, not to be contrarian, but to actually just stand up for one little thing real quick. So here's the format they're saying, essentially that not every MLS team would play. Because initially you'll remember MLS just said, none of our teams are playing. It's
MLS
all going to be
Next Pro,
MLS
right?
Next Pro yeah. teams. And then U.S. Open Cup is like, we were not
what
told
the
this.
Frick.
Yeah, right. So then, and all the other teams too are like, part of the appeal of this is for us to get to play MLS teams. Like, that's part of what makes this tournament awesome is that yeah. you're letting everybody in all ladders of soccer have a chance to go after the big dogs.
And I saw Detroit, like one of the Detroit supporters was like, you know, you can never take this away from us. I would go back to that night, which we beat Columbus. Like,
right.
yes.
Right.
Yes,
as you should.
As you should. That was
again,
a great. The Riverhounds last year.
Yeah, Riverhounds.
You did it. It's great.
For us.
It's awesome.
It sucked when FC Cincinnati beat us that year in when, again, they were not an MLS team, but they still won that game. That put them on the map.
Yep.
That was their big accomplishment. So now, apparently, Don Garber said this. He said, everybody in the soccer business needs to rethink how competitions have been organized to ensure that we can continue to evolve and manage what is the single biggest issue for soccer, that is the management of our schedule. Right. You guys added Leagues Cup.
Campione's Cup.
There's Campione's Cup. There's Leagues Cup, which is the thing you do where all your MLS teams play all the Liga MX teams, and that takes up your entire summer. That's you that did that.
Yeah.
That you added in like a whole bunch of extra games that no one asked for because you want to make more money. So don't go out here about the righteous indignation of, for the safety of our players, fixture congestion. You added games, loser. Right. So this is where I will say one thing about the U.S. soccer people. Do not ever lose sight of this. When you think Major League Soccer, boy, they suck. They're money-grubbing SOBs. All they care about is their bottom line. If you think the people who run the U.S. Soccer Federation are any better, you are completely missing the point.
Yeah.
Because Don Garber and the U.S. Soccer Federation and all the people who run American soccer have similar issues. One of them happens to run the professional Major League Soccer arm. The other one controls the money for the U.S. soccer teams you love, men's and women's, right? They both have tremendous issues. Yeah. So when U.S. Soccer, which oversees the Open Cup, and MLS are butting heads, don't pick sides. Just remember that everyone's stupid.
Yeah.
And the only so my point is, I'm sure the logical reasoning behind what MLS is doing is they are basically saying, hey, because one of the issues that's come out, U.S. Soccer has now said, or U.S. Soccer Federation, they're going to kick in more money to pay for travel for some of these teams, because it does, they basically are told, aren't you excited to get to participate in our game? Good luck getting there.
Yeah.
We're U.S. Soccer. And so the U.S. Soccer Federation is now saying, we will help kick in some funds to allow you to have more travel, to make it easier for your teams to travel, to have better accommodations when you travel, especially for these lower level clubs.
Sure.
It's a big deal. This is like with bowl games in college sports, where you've had, you know, piddly schools going up against Big State U, and Big State U's got no problem getting to the game, but piddly university has to spend half their budget just to get to this game where they get blown out by 40. And, you know, now they're trying to make that more equitable. That's essentially what it needs to happen with the Open Cup. That very real issue is what Don Garber's teams are now latching onto and be like, yeah, that's why I don't want to play. And it's like, okay, okay, scumbags, like, that's not true. You know it's not. Like, that doesn't affect you. It affects the Richmond Kickers. It doesn't affect, you know what I mean? Like, what are we talking? It doesn't affect you.
It doesn't affect the Columbus Crew.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's remember that there are reasons to hate how this Open Cup thing has been run, and there are also reasons to know that Don Garber is still wrong. Doesn't mean the other side's necessarily right.
Yeah.
It does mean the U.S. Open Cup should not fall by the wayside. So the latest is, it looks like they're going to put some MLS teams in. It's yet to be determined how they're going to compete. And you know what's the dumbest part of all this, Beam? If Don Garber and the MLS Cup owners had just been like, hey, we'll play in it, but we're not going to play anybody, right? Like, and if Don Garber was like, oh, hell yeah, I don't give two craps about this tournament.
I don't care who you play.
Yeah. Like, they'd be like,
as
sweet,
we've seen in the past,
we're going to call up half our MLS Next Pro team anyway for that week, put them on the roster. They're going to play in this thing. And then if U.S. Open Cup wants to complain about it, you say like, well, hey, buddy, cut us in on the deal. Then, but again, it's an argument about money. U.S. Open Cup, their problem was, we want you to take these games more seriously and put your best squads out there. And MLS is like, what's our financial incentive to do so?
Yep.
This is the argument they're having. It's stupid. It's dumb. It's affecting real good soccer matches that occurred and great stories that occurred. And who's getting the shaft on all this? The little teams, the little guys.
Yeah, piddly State U.
Which sucks. That's not fair to their fans. As much as I hate to see Detroit beating the Crew or Pittsburgh Riverhounds beating the Crew, those are good fans too. They deserve to have a chance at this thing. Even if they're not going to be an MLS Cup, they support their, in an MLS competition, they support their teams.
Oh yeah, you're absolutely right on it. And I think the death knell for this entire thing was the creation of this League's Cup.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, your entire summer is dedicated to you playing Liga MX, and you know that that's going to be a month long of the season that you're going to do that. And the TV deals, I'm sure, are way more extraordinarily healthy than what they are for the U.S. Open Cup. And so, I mean, just follow the dollar bill trail, like Hansel and Gretel, and get there at the end of the day. And ultimately, that's what soccer is all about nowadays. And I know that, you know, we've got, obviously, Copa coming here to the States. And, like, Serginho Dest, even this week, was like, I think this is stupid. Should the U.S., should we play in Copa America? He's like, yeah, I think that would be really cool. It should be played in South America. It is their cup.
Yeah.
And it's like, yes, but there's more money to be made by having it here. And he's like, I don't care. Like, this is stupid. And it's, if you follow the dollar trail, you're going to get to the root of the problem of everything that we deal with.
Dude, just wait. Again, we've seen it with the NFL. It's not going to be the only one. The NFL's playing big-time games over in Europe.
Yeah.
They will eventually, I believe, have a division over in Europe. They may have a playoff game in Europe, quite honestly. I don't know if we'll ever get – it's not going to be next year. It'll be 20 years from now.
Or the Super Bowl will be over there.
They'll do it at some point. I agree. They'll say it's the world's game. Maybe for, like, the 100th Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? We're in the 50s right now. Like
58.
You tell me by the time we get to, like, Super Bowl 90, they won't be kicking around the idea of, like, why don't we do one in Europe? Do one in London.
Yeah.
The 90th Super Bowl in London. And the 100th will be back in America, of course, but – you know, I'm just saying, they will do English Premier League games over here.
And guess what happens? You will get a Champions League final in the States.
They will do that. Yeah. It's not going to be soon, but when people complain about it and like, why are they doing that? It's like, because they think there's a market that can get tapped. And guess where else they'll do it? China.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Like, it's, I'm not saying that as like Americans are they always. No, we're one of the biggest media markets.
Yeah.
China's a there's a billion people in China. There's a billion people in India, by the way. I don't know if you paid attention to that. Like, they will put these games in other
Messi
markets.
Fighting with Hong Kong.
Right.
Like, well, that's a real thing.
And guess who's scared of that?
Yeah.
It's the soccer people, not Hong Kong. Like, not, you know what I mean? Like, they're looking at it as like, uh-oh, we may have screwed up here. We don't want to lose that. Look what happened with the NBA when one of their owners one time said something about some things going on with the Chinese government that was maybe spot on. Then all of a sudden that owner was like, huh? We don't hear from him anymore. Or it wasn't an owner. It was a Daryl Morey, a GM, who tweeted some stuff. And then suddenly it was like, oh, nope. And they lost, they say, millions of dollars over that until they could make inroads back with China. What I'm saying is the business of sports rules the sport.
Yeah.
They are going to put these games wherever they want to. And speaking of business of sports, that gets us to our last thing we're going to talk about. You're going to be watching these games, at least it looks like, to start off with replacement scab referees in MLS. Because, again, player safety is tantamount. We care very much about the quality of these games. Therefore, the Players Association has now come out and said the replacement refs are a step backward. But professional referee organization, which is who is in charge of the referees for Major League Soccer, they locked out MLS referees after the Professional Soccer Referees Association rejected a proposed new labor
battling associations.
Yeah, the organization versus the association.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway, they locked out MLS referees back in 2014. Replacement officials were used for the first 2 weeks. If I remember correctly, here's the problem for the refs every time, and I'm not saying I'm not on their side. I was looking at some of the stuff that they're offered, and it's a joke. Like, they should get better things than what they're offered for reffing MLS games. You want your games to be better? You need to make sure your referees are highly compensated.
Also, all I'm hearing about these leagues is like, oh, look how much money we're making, and look at our TV media deal, and look at all this, and look at the golden balloons and everything. This team is worth $1 billion. It's like, why don't you pay your refs a livable wage?
Yeah, and give them the money to actually travel to these games where they're traveling, you know, 50 games these guys
are
doing.
I have an idea. Yeah, pay for their travel for being able to do their job correctly.
Right. I think that, and by the way, I've always thought this with referees, the more you pay, the more leverage you have to then come in and say, you know how much we're paying for this?
Right.
This is not good enough.
Yep.
We need better refs here. And by the way, if people see how much they get compensated, you may have referees from Europe say, you know what? I can make just as much in America and not get, I don't have people wanting to firebomb my house if I miss a call.
You might.
Well, but not the same degree that you might have like in Liverpool. You know, I'm just saying, or wherever, London, I don't care. I'm just making names up. I'm just saying, like, this is not, you can get better quality referees the more money you pay. And so if they were to prioritize that, I think that would be a good thing. In either case,
hey,
that's
just
not the
know
way
we're not playing in the U.S. Open Cup because of player safety, though.
Right.
But we're also not paying our refs because
oh
of
my
player
gosh.
Safety.
What's also crazy to me is think about what that means. There's going to be someone who is a replacement for that dude that we had in that game last year that was had like the worst referee we've ever had.
What was his name?
Oh, I can't remember, but remember
we did a full episode on it.
Yes, because he was
he was really bad.
And it's not there's nothing I felt bad. We actually talked about how we felt bad for him because he was from Ukraine and we were like, that gives everything like a pause where you're like, but that country's at war and maybe he's just having a lot on his mind. Cause otherwise we probably would have like destroyed the guy. We were like, well, all things considered, it's a soccer game. He's got a lot worse things happening.
Mr. Boyko.
Yes. Was it Sergei Boyko?
Yeah, Sergei Boyko.
Yeah, that was. I'm just saying the replacement referees will be a bunch of dudes who are, by professional standards, deemed to be worse than Sergei Boyko. So just be aware. Now, I want to say the problem that happened in 2014, and I may be misremembering this, I feel like the reason that ended after a couple weeks was because the reviews that came back initially were like, hey, these refs are pretty good. And then the union was like, all right, we'll go back. Let's sign this deal. Cause people were starting to be like, you know what? They suck as bad as the other dudes. Yeah. And then they were like, you know what? Never mind. Let's just get this deal. We want our jobs back. And so I don't know if that's how it'll go this time, but there's going to be a lot of craziness with MLS season this year.
If you want to watch how this negotiating tactics are going with the refs and MLS, watch the movie, The Replacements.
There you go. Yeah, exactly right. It could be 100% just
Shane
like that.
Falco. You messed up that Orange Bowl, man.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Could be exactly what they're hearing right now.
You always get the girl at the end, though.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Some of them are girls that are reffing now.
Of course.
So they maybe they get the guy or the gal. Who knows? I don't judge.
Hey, feel better, would you?
Yeah, you,
you
too.
You made it through this podcast, and I think your voice got better.
Yeah, I think it woke up.
Yeah.
I think it's been dormant for it. I didn't talk at all yesterday, yeah. Much to the delight of my family.
I wouldn't talk again today until 3 p.m.
I'm going to try not to. I'm going to try to shut up. I'm very good at that.
Have fun in your sales meeting.
I can't wait. It's going to be fun. All right, we will see you guys next week and hopefully be talking a big Columbus Crew victory in their first game. And happy Christmas, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.